Good morning. I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and pray that by our worship, you might know the blessing of the God who finds us in all of our times and places of being lost and of feeling lost. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are joining us for our live streamed or our recorded worship this day. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, whether you feel yourself to be found or know yourself to be lost, you are welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. We, as always, thank our worship leaders for making this worship possible. And so we extend thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter and Bill Ladd and Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury. And also we extend a particular thanks to Randy Brewer and Hank Zaretter and the staff at Pegasus Natick for making it possible for this worship to happen to you on the technical end of things. We couldn't do it without all of them. So we also want to let you know a few things about our worship this morning. We have a time, as usual, of candle lighting. So we invite you to have a candle and to light your candle along with me as I light the Christ candle. That will happen just following the announcements. This is also a communion Sunday. And so we invite you now, if you haven't already, to gather your communion elements, the things that you will use for bread and wine this day. Remember, bread or a cracker will suffice, juice or wine or water will work. All of those things are made holy by the God who inhabits our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. We also have a time for ritual action during our worship. And as usual, we'll invite you to have a piece of sea glass or beach glass. But we also would like to invite you to have some sand and a bowl to put that sand in. We'll be doing some things with those a little bit later, just before the morning's prayer. There are numerous prayer concerns or celebrations that you will find in our church's bulletin. And so we invite you to take a look at those, but also to know that we invite your prayer celebrations or concerns during this worship up till the time of the reflection. You can email those to us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And again, if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our morning's prayer. And as usual, we have a time of post-worship fellowship following our worship this Sunday. That'll happen by Zoom video conferencing. There's a link here in this bulletin online, also in the bulletin that you will have possibly received by the weekly emailing that went out on Friday or on Sunday morning, this morning. You can also find it on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Sarah Lynn, I know that you have some announcements as well this morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. So our soul sabbatical is going along great. We have a group of about 12 of us meeting on Wednesday evenings. If you'd like to read along with us or have us supply you with the study materials, I'd be happy to do that. You can get in touch with me. And we are using the book Grounded by Diana Butler Bass, This Lenten Journey. I also want to invite our children to join me after the worship service while coffee hour is going on a different Zoom link. Children can join me today via Zoom for songs and a story and a time to chat. We're going to be celebrating Women's History Month today with a story about Jane Goodall. So please join me. And the Midweek Connection and Prayer happens every Wednesday at noon. You're invited to join us for a short time of sharing prayers and praying together. And then also, I want to remind everyone that Jonathan is available during the week for any pastoral care needs that you may have. You can reach him at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org.
People of God, we serve the Lord of Light, the one who told us that we are the light of the world and who also called us to be that light in the world, shining forth brightly. No sin or brokenness can take away from us this identity of God's children of light, or this holy, luminous vocation that each of us has been given. And so may this candle lighting then remind us of our acceptance of this identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose as the people of God. Let us light our candles together. We are the light of the world, serving the light of the world. For a beachcomber, glass is a shining treasure, a mineral gem, precious and valued. Likewise, God gathers us as a beachcomber gathers and marvels at every precious surviving piece of beach glass that she finds. Hidden, discovered, lost, found, gathered in and treasured.
Though we may feel that we are never alone. Never lost to the one who seeks our wholeness and indeed humanity's wholeness. And so we affirm our commitment to be the body of Christ that knows we cannot be personally healed until we see the interconnected community as part of the process of healing. Jesus has the power to revision the family of God in which false boundaries are overcome. In particular, in a year of devastating loss of livelihood for many, we consider the economic health that reimagines status quo, reimagines neighbor, reimagines family. Even as we affirm that we are vessels, broken perhaps, yet holy.
Good morning. For our Lenten song, I'll sing it through one time, and then I invite you to join me on the second time through.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, draw us together, O Holy One, from paths of aimless wandering. Bring the fragments of our lives together into a meaningful whole. Hear our cries. Send your mercy, for we are lost and in need of your seeking and saving. We are like sheep that have wandered away from the best we know and cannot find our way back. Come, Good Shepherd, find us and save us from ourselves. Amen.
All that dwell below the skies.
invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and sharing our peace with the spirits of others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow that conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We are in a time when we can't pass an offering plate, and yet we are people who continue to be called to generosity in lots of ways, sharing the gifts with which God has blessed us. And we do that in many, many ways. One of the ways that we do this is by sharing in ministry and mission through Christ Church, and in particular through this congregation. And so we invite you to continue to be generous with your money gifts as well. That helps us to continue to be the church in the world, making the difference that God intends us to make in our community and beyond. So let us continue to do that. Checks, of course, are received and very welcome. You can mail those to the church office. You can also make an online contribution at www.firstchurchnatick.org following the donate link. So we invite you to do that. We have the opportunity, siblings in Christ, to join the God who we serve in the search and rescue of those who are lost. Knowing that we too have been found, may we give of ourselves and of our substance so that many may find their way. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your creation that continues to unfold before our eyes. Grateful that you have brought us to this hour. We accept your mercy and we seek to respond to others with the generosity that you have shown us. And so receive our gifts, Holy One, as symbols of our commitment to be your under shepherds. We join you in celebrating each return to relationship with you, with others, and to our true selves. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I've been thinking about Robinson Crusoe. Robinson Crusoe, most of people will know the story of Daniel Defoe's famous book written in 1799, considered by many to be the first English novel. An English sailor, marooned for 27 years on a deserted Caribbean island, surviving by his wits, hunting wild boar, rescuing his man Friday from a cannibal's feast, a symbol of surviving the ultimate tests of nature. So adapted to his solitary life that he's loath to rejoin civilization. Three centuries later, this story still captivates us, evidenced by a whole host of other similar stories. Gilligan's Island and Castaway and reality shows, and of course the TV series Lost and books like Life of Pi and The Martian, which takes place on Mars, but has this very earthly premise. We are fascinated with the lost, with the castaway, with the marooned. And yet one major flaw I think of Defoe's book is that Crusoe is so unrealistically stalwart in the face of his plight. And I think far more interesting is the real life story of Alexander Selkirk, who was the basis for Defoe's novel. Here's a statue of him here put up by the people from his hometown in Scotland, where he was born in 1676. Selkirk was a troublemaker from youth. And at age 19, he was brought up on charges after his brother's trick of making him drink seawater ended up in a family fight that was so bad they ended up having to go to court. Before his case was heard, however, Selkirk fled to sea, hoping to make his escape and also to make his fortune by privateering, legalized piracy on the king's enemies against Spanish vessels on the South American coast. But in 1704, the hot-headed Selkirk quarreled with his captain over the ship's seaworthiness. And he said to the captain, if he was determined to continue on without making repairs, then it could go to the bottom without him. His captain replied, "Very well, you will be accommodated." And he stranded Selkirk on the uninhabited island of Juan Fernandez, 400 miles west of Chile, with nothing but his sea chest. Selkirk remained there until 1709. While Crusoe immediately began making the best of things, the real life Selkirk was much more human in the face of all of the crises that he met with. As his ship sailed away, he cried piteously to be taken back. For months, he lived in dejection and terror, regretting his rash actions. Selkirk did provide for himself, and yet he dreamed continuously of escape. And he was constantly on the lookout for passing ships that might rescue him. When rescued, Defoe's hero is reluctant to leave his paradise. But Selkirk, seeing his rescuers, he rushes down to the beach and he lights this huge fire and he signals madly for the ship to come and get him. And then once he's brought aboard, he was so overjoyed with being rescued, he is unable to speak sensibly for days. As one shipmate said, though Selkirk diverted and provided for himself as best he could, he had much ado to bear up against melancholy and the terror of being left alone in such a desolate place. Well, we like stories, I think, of people who become lost. We like them, I think, because in part we can identify with them. Though perhaps never shipwrecked, we've all been lost in the grocery store, perhaps when we were little children, separated from our mamas or our daddies, hiking in the woods, driving through an unfamiliar city at night. Think of yourself as lost, and what do you feel? It's actually not something we tend to want to ponder that much or in great detail, but we're going to a little bit today. How do you feel? For myself, it's of course alone, but also disoriented and confused and fearful, sometimes terrified. So let's face it, being lost is one of the worst things that can happen to us in life. I think this universal feeling was what prompted Jesus to tell this parable of the Good Shepherd. We can readily imagine what the lost sheep might be feeling. Jesus' purpose, I think, is to prompt us to identify with the sheep, perhaps, or at least part of the parable's idea there, I think, is to do that. So that we might feel our own loneliness, that we might feel our own vulnerability, we might recognize our own fear, because he wants us to take heart that God, like a good shepherd, won't rest until each sheep is found. So next week, we're going to spend a little bit more time thinking about what the experience of being found is like. But today I want to stick a little bit more with the experience of being lost and what that feels like. And I've been thinking that it's interesting that in Jesus' parable, we never learn why that sheep became lost in the first place. Was it chased away by wolves? Was it stolen? Did it just wander off? Was it the black sheep always running away like Selkirk, causing his own lostness through a series of events because of his own character? Well, we don't know. And I think that's frankly one of the beauties of this parable. We are free to identify with whatever lostness that we may be experiencing in our own lives. For though we may be lost, that doesn't mean that we are locationally challenged. No question, there are life events that that push us off of known paths and make us feel like we're lost. But I've also been thinking about how most of us get lost. And I've seen it. I've seen it many times before. Especially when we lived in Vermont, as I used to walk past a neighbor's sheep farm. So you can imagine, we're sort of nibbling at the grass in the middle of the field and moving from one tuft to the next. And before we know it, we might be munching the grass up next to the fence there. And then, you know, we notice a kind of nice clump just over there, a patch of green out there on the other side. And we find ourselves stumbling through a gap and suddenly we're out on the road, maybe. Out on a road that we shouldn't be on. We don't intend to get lost. We just sort of, I don't know, nibble our way into lostness, a kind of gradual process for many of us. That process and the reality of it reminds me of a movie from 2003. And yeah, it goes back a little ways, but it tells the story that I think is a story that we can all relate to. I'm in a movie directed by Sofia Coppola, an Oscar award-winning film featuring the unlikely pairing of Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. It features a brief friendship between them, between a middle-aged actor and a recent college grad who meet in a Tokyo hotel. And the story explores the way that we may wake up one morning recognizing that we're feeling lost. They are jet lagged, they are sleep deprived, they are suffering confusion due to, and some hilarity, frankly, through the cultural and language differences that they're encountering in that place. All of this emphasizes their underlying suffering, which is that they feel lost. So Bob, he's a has-been movie actor whose movies were never anything to brag about. And he's fully aware that his marriage of 25 years is also nothing to brag about. Phone calls with his wife tend to focus on things like new carpet for his study and conspicuously never end with the words, "I love you." When he tells her finally, I'm completely lost, she just says to him, "Bob, it's just carpet." Charlotte is also in a dead-end relationship, tagging along with her photographer husband who photographs celebrities, and he's always rushing off to be with them. He's captivated by them, and she becomes to realize that he is shallow, and she says, I don't know why we're married. She listens to a self-help tape, Soul Search, Finding Your True Calling, but she has to confess, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be. So this is a story that's about navigating a foreign environment. Finding the process mirrors the fears that we have been stranded in our own lives, marooned maybe on an unrecognizable shore, with no idea how to find our way back. A humane depiction of the experience of lostness with its aimlessness and its loneliness as well. Might not be the story for you, might not be the movie for you, but I think it is a movie worth pondering at a time when you feel like that you can watch it. Because there's a lot more there. More about that in a minute. Our lostness takes a lot of different kinds of forms. We know. You know your marriage is shipwrecked, perhaps, as you find yourself yelling at your spouse or simply remaining silent. You feel washed up on a desolate shore, maybe as you awaken from another night of drinking or drugs. You're lost and you're lost your moorings. A serious illness overturns your life. You're cast away, perhaps discarded by an employer who decides that you, frankly, are expendable. Marooned, you're stuck in a career with all the trappings of a desert isle, set adrift, maybe. You cling to your raft, the couch, unable to rise from depression. So many different kinds of lostness and more. Being lost is a part of life, at least for a part of most people's lives. So in this Lenten season, I'm thinking about two interrelated spiritual questions that I think are key for us. And that first question is, where is the lostness in my life? Where is the lostness in my life? And the second question, the one that companions it, I think, is, what would being found mean and feel like? Where is the lostness in my life? And what would being found mean and feel like. Gratefully, we can and we often are found. At the end of Lost in Translation, Bob and Charlotte say goodbye in the midst of their lostness. They embrace and they whisper some words to each other, words perhaps of encouragement that the viewer can't hear, but that make each other smile as they go their separate ways. Jesus' parable reminds us that sometimes it doesn't take that much to go from lost to found. Just someone who cares enough to go looking for us, who won't cast us away, who shows us that we are not alone. It's what the Good Shepherd did, of course. It's what Jesus says God does. And what he did himself as he ministered to castaways of all kinds. And that's what we are meant to do for one another. For doesn't he ask us, which of you would not leave the 99 sheep and go after the one lost sheep? The good news is God will find us. And no matter what has made us lost, we can experience being found. More about that next Sunday. In the meantime, may we ponder, where is the lostness in my life? And what would being found mean and feel like? And in compassion, consider what it might mean for us to seek out the lost ones who are around us, whether we recognize they are there or not. May our loving God make it so. May God be with you in your feelings of lostness this week. And may we remember the promise of God seeking us out. Amen. We come to a time of being with one another in prayer. It's a time when we bring everything about us into conversation with God, or we bring our whole selves, or at least that's the intention, to bring our whole selves. And as we do, it means that we bring the parts of us that are feeling lost. And whether we're able to articulate these things or not really doesn't matter. What matters is that we recognize that in prayer, God is yet already there reaching out to us. And so I invite us to be in that spirit during this time as we lift up prayer concerns and celebrations for one another in our community and in our lives. There are many of these listed in our bulletin, so I invite you to take a look at those and to spend a little time praying over those during this time, but also in the week to come. And I know that there are other prayer celebrations or concerns that have come to us before and during this worship, and I invite Wayne Zaretter to let us know about those.
Good morning. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Christine Brewer's mom, Irene Moran. Our thoughts and prayers also go out to the family and friends of the Natick teen who was killed in a two-car accident in Canton last night. The young man, a passenger in one of the cars, was a well-loved junior at Natick High School. Prayers of healing also go out to a second Natick teen who survived the car accident. We celebrate prayers of blessing for Keith Jennings as he will be turning 60 years old tomorrow. We're grateful for his continued good health and for the opportunity to celebrate together as family when many others will not have this blessing this year. Lastly, prayers of healing go out to Jennifer and Michael McCormick, who are members of the extended Zaretta family. Jennifer and Michael were in a serious automobile accident a few days ago. Although the car was totaled, thankfully, the injuries they sustained were not life-threatening. Thank you.
Jesus shares a parable with us about a shepherd who leaves his flock of 99 sheep in search of one lost sheep until he finds it. I invite you to take a piece of sea glass that you have and bury it in your sand. Push it under the surface so that it is lost. And as you do so, think about the people you know or you have encountered or heard about in the last few months who have lost economic standing or are suffering lack of support. How can we reach out beyond ourselves to our neighbors and community in need of healing? How can we revision humanity by letting go of our biases and recognizing that we are all part of one flock? To what part of our community will we say, you are worthy of being found? Now I invite you to shift your thinking to your need to be cared for. In what ways do you feel lost at the moment? What do you need to feel safe? What connections do you need to strengthen in order to heal the isolation you may feel? If you're in need of something, I invite you, consider this an invitation to let someone know that you need something without feeling embarrassment or shame, remembering that Jesus invites us always to ask. Take a moment to think on this, and when you're ready, place your hand on the sand over your broken piece of sea glass that's buried beneath it. Breathe deeply, inviting the Spirit to live and move in you in a special way to strengthen your connection to others and your role in making someone's life safe. Keep your sand and your lost piece of sea glass in a place you can see regularly this week so that you might continue to think on these things.
We invite you now to bring all of those considerations and more, all of these prayer celebrations and concerns we've lifted up, and the many, many more that have not been raised publicly and yet are held within your hearts, to bring those all together and to know that we are joining as one to be the body of Christ in prayer. So let us pray together. Holy One, healer of every ill, we ask you to heal all of our cries for healing of body and mind and spirit, for illness or pain or grief, anxiety or depression, every circumstance that can untether us from you and from others and contribute to making us feel lost. As broken pieces scattered and separated, we trust that you are seeking us, that you are gathering us into wholeness and calling us to join you in the quest. We pray especially for those who've experienced the loss of livelihoods and economic security and are feeling helpless to care for their families. We pray for those whose businesses have gone under or are on the precipice between survival or closure. We pray for those whose disparity of resources has been made even more pronounced during this pandemic. We pray grateful thanks for for the efforts of all who have been searching for solutions and have given generously for months of their time and resources to alleviate the suffering of those they know and those they do not know. We ask for encouragement and passion to reevaluate how we as a church can help now and into the future. Above all, Holy One, we invite you to make your searching self known to us in our places of lostness and in those of the ones who we know and love and care about, those who are known to us and those who are not known to us, and yet we are aware, are suffering on account of injustices and structures that separate them from others and ensure that they cannot live as fully as you would have them live. We pray in these circumstances of brokenness and lostness, knowing yet that you are the one who finds us in every circumstance. And we pray them in the name of the healer, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So if we ever doubt God's acceptance, God's affirmation, God's forgiveness, we need only remember the story of the upper room when Jesus and his disciples gathered for their last meal together. He knew that one who was dipping his hand into the dish with him would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him, deny that he ever knew him. He knew that the rest would lose their courage and desert him. And yet he took bread. He took bread. And when he had blessed it, he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to the disciples, saying, Drink all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, remember me. Let us receive now Jesus' life-giving bread and wine. Come, people of God, for all things have been made ready. Siblings in Christ, we are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are yet one in Christ. Wherever you may be, then, rest your hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them. Let us pray together. Healing One, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. Send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing upon every table, where your child shelters, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us, that we may live in you. Breathe in us, that we may breathe in you. Touch us, that all our brokenness may be made whole. Guide us, that in our lostness we may yet find our way and your way. Let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ, in the bread we share.
Let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ, in the cup we share.
Siblings in Christ, take, eat. I invite you now to pray with me. We give you thanks, merciful God, for your acts of grace. We come to you, hearts rent and aware of our brokenness, and you put aside all anger in favor of steadfast love. We praise you that though we sin, we may yet be sanctified by you. We are grateful that we who are broken in our many ways may know your healing and receive your grace. We thank you that in this life-giving bread and wine, we may be renewed and reconciled with you, our sisters and brothers and others and ourselves. Amen.
My shepherd, you supply my need. Oh,
vessels, holy and whole, broken, needing the one, open, body and soul, healer come, healer come. Arise now, people of God, and go with confidence that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Beachcomber, is gathering us all into safe keeping, recovering our depth of love for all and our joy of living in this beautiful world. And as you go, may the Spirit hover and move and deliver salve to your soul and a spring in your step. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen. Thank you.